First of all, I'm going to make the announcement before and not after, because I will forget and I don't want anyone on my back. So this is the announcement. After the service, if we could have, especially maybe the younger guys, to help us, we need to move 5 6-foot round tables from the Life Center up to the room over here where we have refreshments. And I know we know this, but we don't want to roll them through the parking lot. Okay, we're going to have to carry them, protect them. So that's the announcement, so I won't forget. This morning, I wanted to speak on something that's been on my mind for about 2 months now. And you like to speak on things that is more beneficial, you think, to yourself than what it's going to be for you. It's something that I needed in my life more. I had to, not the pleasure of, but I had to go to a celebration of life in the last 2 months, and I had to go to an actual funeral. The first one was a friend of mine that I went to college with. We were in the same type of business, you could say, and I met with him about 6 months ago for lunch. He had gone on his own for about 3 years. And he told me everything is just going great. Business is just great. Well, unfortunately, my friend Darren passed away. And I went to his funeral, or celebration of life, and there's no evidence whatsoever that he was saved. No one passed away, but he took his life. And there was only 22 people there. For whatever reason, the only family was there was his wife, and was his and her brother. His parents didn't even come to the funeral, and I don't know why. Maybe they might not be able to. But come to find out, what had happened was that he had taken the home equity line loan out of his wife's house, their house, and he had blown it all in the stock market. And on top of that, she found credit cards after he had died that he had run up that she didn't know anything about. And it was just so sad. I was thinking about that, how sad that was. But, you know, I went to another funeral, and this was a lady that I had known probably for 30 years. And every time I would see her, she was very, very bubbly, and she was saved. As a matter of fact, she had taught Sunday school for many, many years. She met her husband, which I'm good friends with, in Sunday school. At her funeral, there was standing room only, 350 people or more that were there. And there was actually people there that were saved under her ministry, and she'd done many mission trips. But the sad news is that she took her life. And it's just, for a while, it was just so hard for me to grasp that and understand that, because every time I saw her, she was just so happy and bubbly. And there was a man that came up to me at Darren's funeral, and he says, you know, this is the Charlie Rich effect. And I looked at him and I said, well, I know the singer Charlie Rich. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He says, no one knows. He sings a song. He says, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. And that is so true. And no one knows what goes on behind our closed doors of our heart. I don't know your heart, and you don't know my heart. And so the message I wanted to bring this morning is about contentment. And we actually touched a lot of it in the Lord's Supper this morning. From Lauren and Barry and Steve, the things they were saying. It's wonderful how the Holy Spirit just moves sometimes on the subject. And I want to make this very clear. When I'm going to talk about contentment, I'm not talking about your circumstances, okay? Everyone in life at some point in time is going to be content because everything is going their way. I heard one preacher, I don't know who says, but any old dead fish can float down the river when things are good. So it's not about circumstances. Let me just give you an example of that. Let's just say today that your football or basketball team just won the national championship. You're happy. You're excited. And then a little later on, a family member calls you on the phone and says, I don't know if you know, but our cousin so-and-so that we hardly knew, but didn't have any family or anything, passed away. And guess what? She left us $250,000 apiece. You're going like, man, what a great day. This is phenomenal, unbelievable. My team wins the national championship and I get $250,000. And then Monday morning, you look down on your cell phone and the test results you got back from the doctor's office is calling, and it's not the nurse, but it's actually the doctor on the phone. And he says, Ed, you need to come in because we see some things that maybe we need to go over. What happens to your contentment? It drops just like a rock. So we're not talking about circumstances at all. There's two people that stick out in my mind, and I'm sure there's others in Scripture that had contentment. And I want to say, first of all, no one walked on this earth that had more contentment than our Savior, Jesus Christ. He was totally content in every single aspect. And the one reason we know that is, and it's very familiar Scripture, is Hebrews 12:2. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He said nothing. So he was the most content person. But the person I want to concentrate on this morning is Paul. And we're all familiar with Paul. But you know the thing about Paul was real. He was real. And the thing about before we can have contentment in our life. Because we're believers does not automatically make us content. As I've already told you about my friend. But you got to be authentic. You have to be an authentic Christian to be content. And what I mean by that, you know, if I had a Rolex here if I had one on my arm here this morning, and I said, this is a Rolex, and I said, and it looks like a Rolex, and I said, you know what, I was up in New York City last week, and a guy gave me a good deal on this thing. It was only like $600, this Rolex. Now, what's your credibility as far as that being a real Rolex? Or women with the Gucci pocketbooks, you see those? But what they're called is knockoffs. If you've heard that. And you know the thing about it is, are we knockoff Christians when I say that? You know, we look real, but the intrinsic value is not there. And we can say Paul was real. You know, sometimes someone says that, you know, when we come in this little bridge right here, that these 3 hours during the week, 9 to 12, might be the only time that we're the most spiritual, our most spiritual time for the whole week. And then when we go out of the parking lot, we're totally different. And that shouldn't be the case with any of us. So you have to be real, and you have to be authentic to have real contentment in your heart. I want us to turn to Philippians 4. And our brother last week that was traveling through here from Augusta actually did these verses, spoke on these verses while he read them. Last Lord's Supper. And I want to look at Philippians 4 and verse 10. And first of all, we know, and this has already been mentioned, and Steve's mentioned this morning, and Steve mentioned this also on Wednesday night, that this whole book is about joy. I think it's mentioned 14 times that Paul had joy. He wants us to have joy. And let's look at verse 10. And it says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, of which you were also mindful, but you lacked opportunity. Just a little bit of a background here. He was in jail in Philippi, and he was chained to a Roman soldier. And they have given him money in the past, and they've given him money now. And one commentary says it's been 10 years since they had given him money. And basically, you know, what he was saying, that he was appreciative, you know, of the money. He was happy that they had the money. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want. In other words, he wasn't complaining about the shortage of money. He was independent of all this. And he says, but I have learned, and that's a big word there. We don't want to go by that too fast. To be content, you have to learn it. Unfortunately for us, is that we're not built to be content. If you think about it, we're just the opposite. If you look back a few verses before, be anxious for nothing. We're anxious. We have a lot of anxiety. We worry. But this is a learned thing. Contentment is learned. And Paul is telling us, I have learned in whatever state that I am in this to be content. Who wouldn't want that? I mean, who would not want that? What the Lord, what he said. And then if you look in verse 12, it says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He knew what it was like not to have the basic necessities of life. And he also knew at times when he had more than enough. And he goes on to say, everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But that his circumstances didn't matter to Paul. And that's why I say he was so real. And then verse 13, as you know, we all know this verse very well. And it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You know, this is the secret. It's not only that contentment is learned, but also it's a secret. And the secret is I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, I don't know if he means like all things, anything he wanted, but anything that was in God's will, God would enable him to do it. That was in God's will, is what he's saying here in verse 13. You know, there are many examples, I guess you could say we could go to in the scriptures, and we're going to go to one that I picked out, and it's one of my favorites. But first of all, I wanted to just, and we could probably add to this list, but I'm going to read this to you, but what was Paul's life like? I mean, I know Lauren hit on this the other week, a few things, but just listen to these things. This is what his life was like. He was beaten 5 times. He was stoned 3 times. He was shipwrecked. He was falsely accused. He had constant death threats. He was poor. He was flogged. He was part of riots. He was weak. He was hungry. He went with no sleep. He was cold and naked. He was called scum of the earth. He was brutally treated, outwardly wasting away, constantly on the move, dragged out of the temple, dragged in the streets. He was bound by chains and falsely imprisoned. And also he was bitten by a poisonous viper also, if you remember, on top of all that. How does that compare to your life? Makes you put it in perspective, doesn't it? Sure does. So he had credibility, definitely, for his contentment. So I was wondering if we could look at one of those examples. Let's turn to Acts 16. Very famous story, Acts 16. We all know this story. And let's look at verse 25. Well, let's start with verse 22. And just a little bit of background, they had just cast out a demon out of a woman, and they got in trouble for it, bottom line was. And verse 22, it says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. This is Paul and Silas. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, and I read in a commentary, what they beat him with was a 4-foot metal rod. And they just beat the daylights out of them. And they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And I know Jack talked about this one Wednesday night, how they put him in a dungeon. And you could imagine the darkness of that dungeon. And ladies, I'm sorry to say this, but there were probably these great big old sewer rats down there that probably you could feel them running on you. And I'm sure there was a lot of spiders in there too, where they were. So you can imagine the conditions, but let's look at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, that's the first thing you do is pray, right? But they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Well, I'm going to tell you what I would do, and I don't know about you, but I would be complaining the whole time. I say, listen, you have falsely imprisoned me, And you know what? I want my one phone call because I want to call my lawyer and I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue this department. I'm going to sue you for everything you got. That would be my attitude. Or I'd be singing, woe is me, woe is me. But look what Paul, they were singing. They were singing. It was happy. It was joy, even in the condition that they were in. And you know what? We're going to see that their contentment, and if we have contentment in our life, what a witness it is for Christ, of their contentment, what their situation was. And let's look. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Isn't it a miracle of how God worked it? There was an earthquake, opened the doors, and their chains came off, but the building didn't collapse. Isn't that amazing? And it says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposedly that the prisoners had been fled. Here's another thing about suicide I was thinking about. Here's this man, he was so upset because all the prisoners had left. He knew that the Romans were going to kill him for letting these prisoners out. But Paul, can you imagine Paul at that time? Paul was probably very soft-spoken, very content, talking to that jailer and said, hey, listen, we're all here. We're not going anywhere. Calm down. And it's because of his contentment, the jailer realized that he was a sinner and that he needed Christ. And look what it, keep on going down to verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light. Again, can you imagine how darkness was in there? He had to get a light. And sprang in and came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? It was their testimony. It was their contentment in their life that made this man come to this situation to ask, what can I be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spoke unto them the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. And he took them to the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Now here is the Roman guard washing Paul and Silas's stripes. What a major turnaround. And not only that, it says, and he was baptized, and immediately. And when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. This story, over and over, when I think about just the contentment, is something I want. Do I have that contentment that Paul had in his life on there? I'd like to close with this, if we could. Let's turn to Luke, to close on in Luke. This is another famous passage, Luke chapter 18. But before we do that, one last thing as far as Paul was. Do you know what happened probably after he got out of jail there? You know what Paul was thinking? Hey, when's my next beating coming? You know, if Paul was a type guy that he could see the eye of the storm, you know what he did? He went right straight through it. You know, we like to dodge it. We see that coming in our life. We don't want to go through the storm. But he went right through it. And the reason he did is because he believed in God's providence. He knew that God would provide for him no matter what. And if it cost him his life, so be it. Because he always argued it was better to be dead anyway. So it didn't bother him a bit. He's amazing. The more I read about Paul, the more I'm amazed at a wonderful example I would like to be like Paul. But Luke chapter 18, the way I like to close is let's look at the rich young ruler. And let's look at verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good except one, that is God. And he says, thou knowest the commandments, He says, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, let's get it straight. The Lord is not talking that you're going to be saved because you keep the law. He was trying to show him that he can't keep the law. But what did this young ruler say? He says, and he said, all these I've kept from my youth up. I've kept those. So the Lord says, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, ye lackest one thing. Here's the one commandment that you're not going to keep. He says, sell all that you have and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. There's the secret. Come and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. And what was the answer that the young ruler gave him? And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, with what difficulty shall they that riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? You know, the Bible tells us everything that he was going to give up. He was going to give up his riches. But you know what it doesn't tell us? Think about this for a minute. Look what he would have gained. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was asking him to follow me. Can you imagine that? He would probably walk with him for probably 3 years. He would have seen him walk on water. He would have seen him do miracles. He'd seen him heal people. He probably would have hobnobbed with the disciples. But he was so upset because he was going to lose his riches. But you know, the Lord is saying the same thing to us this morning. He's saying, follow me, take up your cross, and you will have contentment in this life. But I will tell you this too, just like this young ruler, if you're here this morning and your life is turned upside down, and if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll never have contentment in your life. You might think you have it in circumstances for a short time, but you'll never have contentment until you come to the Savior and be saved. And that might be someone here that's never done that this morning, and I would be glad to show you how you can have contentment in your life, and any of the elders would be glad to share that with you. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have contentment in your life, isn't it? And that's my goal, is I'm going to try to have more contentment in my life and take away the worldly things out of my life, and so that I can follow him and he will direct my paths. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do thank you this morning for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much that you came to this earth to die for sinners like us, that you were so content that you went to the deepest depths and the worst death that any man could ever face, the crucifixion for us. You did not open your mouth. Lord, I would also ask that we all look in our own hearts. We all have closed doors that we can't see, but you know our hearts, that we would follow you, we would take up our cross, and that we would find contentment in our life. You want us to have this. This is good for us. But more than that, we know it would bring honor and glory to your name. Lord, we would just thank you now for the food we're about to take. Bless it to us. We thank you for the hands that have prepared it. And just everything that's done for the rest of the day would be honor and glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.